You're listening to Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, featuring Gary Bauer, Director of Public Policy at the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute. Now, here's Gary Bauer with more.
Hello, I'm Gary Bauer, Senior Vice President of the James Dobson Family Institute, and I'm here today with our inaugural edition of our new podcast, Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom. I'm really glad you're here with us. This is going to be a weekly effort, and our goal is to bring to you news about family, faith, and freedom that you need in the times we're living in America. We all know there's a great clash in our country between what kind of country we are now, what we're going to become in the future. And you, as an American that cares about these things, need to be informed, and you need help and suggestions about how you can be part of the battle. Since this is our first show, I thought I'd start us out at the kindergarten level and maybe go over a little bit of history here. You know, for years, I went to high schools around America, and I talked to juniors and seniors. I spent some time as Undersecretary of Education in the Reagan administration. And then in some of my other work, I've had the opportunity to visit schools. And very early on, I found myself being challenged over whether I understood, the students would ask me, if I understood the concept of the separation of church and state. They had a very bizarre idea of what that idea was all about. They seemed to think that it meant that Christians and religious people shouldn't be involved in government and politics at all. So in an effort to get those young people to start thinking a little bit more deeply, I began asking students if they realized that America was built on a profoundly religious idea, a moral idea, that was smack in the middle of the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. I got a lot of puzzled stares back from these young students who were just a few years away from being old enough to vote. I even went so far in order to get their interest to tell them that since they weren't expecting a pop quiz, I would offer them $20 if they could finish the sentence that begins with the words, "We hold these truths." Again, I usually got blank stares. I think over the years, I've given out maybe three or four $20 bills with hundreds of visits to America's public schools. Now, I'm hoping and I'm assuming that you know the words, but hey, look, school was a long time ago. Maybe you've forgotten them. And so what I thought I would do is remind you who tuned in today what those words are and why they're so important. Now, our founding fathers on the way to Constitution Hall, they were very learned men, very well-read men, and they were very familiar with Greek and Roman political philosophy. They got a lot of ideas in the American Republic from those books, but they got the most important ideas about America from the Bible, by the Old Testament, the Torah, and by the New Testament. And they took the most important idea that they got from the Bible, and they put it in that second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. As I said, the sentence begins, "We hold these truths." Now, see, that's a problem right there, because we live in a time and a culture where there are a lot of powerful people who say there isn't any such thing as truth. They'll talk about your truth and my truth. There's no your truth and my truth. There's only truth. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men, it means all mankind, ladies, that all men are created equal and endowed by their government. No, it doesn't say that. If it said endowed by their government, well, we'd be like every other country in the world. It says that we are endowed by our Creator. It's not just any creator. It's the creator of the Bible. It's the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jesus. Endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights. That's an unusual word, kind of hard on the ears. Most people don't even use it in their common conversations. But inalienable has a very specific and deep meaning. It means that these rights are so important that no government can take them away, that they come to us as part of who we are as human beings. In fact, the word means that these rights are so central that we couldn't surrender these rights legitimately without losing being a God-created human being, endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these, the right to life. Isn't that interesting? Way back then, the founders, without sonogram machines, knew that without the right to life, the other rights are sort of beside the point. Endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, among these the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the central idea of America. Now, look, I know there may be some critics listening, or you may have heard the criticism. What? All men are created equal? We were a country that had slaves. Well, my friends, this was an aspirational statement by our founding fathers. It wasn't a statement about what we had already succeeded in being. It was a statement about what America wanted to be. And those rights, when they were written, were aggressively objected to by many of the colonies that owned slaves, because they knew that if that sentence had legal authority, that it actually would ultimately doom slavery, which it did. So that's the central idea of America. Everywhere that idea has gone, it has brought more liberty and more opportunity for more people than any competitive system of government in the world. Those words mean, if you believe them, that you can be a newborn with Down syndrome, or you can be a 99-year-old with senility, and you still have dignity and value and worth. Well, what in the world am I bringing up these words written way back at the beginning of America? What's that got to do with America today in 2022? Well, a lot of the battles raging in our country all revolve around those words. Because today we have powerful people in our country that reject those words completely. One of the reasons many of our sons and granddaughters and daughters don't know these words is that the educational establishment doesn't teach them anymore. They find the words sort of threatening. These words say that government is not who we should look to, that we should look to the God of the Bible. In the weeks ahead, I'm going to be sharing with you the thoughts of the James Dobson Family Institute about these battles all over America that we see raging. Battles about what our children ought to be taught in the classroom. Battles over what is a human being. Battles about reliable standards of right and wrong. About what our churches should do in an increasingly hostile culture, about how we can rebuild the family, how we can ensure that our children and grandchildren will live in a country as free as the country we live in. And so I thought it was important today to begin with those words and why you should know them and why you should teach them at your dinner tables. Now, I hope that you've heard enough today that you're going to be interested in coming back. Not every episode is going to be a history lesson, I promise you, because I know eyes glaze over sometime. But there are going to be discussions, important discussions, about your family and your faith, about religious liberty, about whether America or not truly is going to be and remain one nation under God. I want you to be there for these conversations. I think together, and working with the James Dobson Family Institute, we can help ensure in the years ahead that America and our children and grandchildren will enjoy the same opportunity and have the same liberty which we have been so blessed to have. So thanks for being here today. I'm looking forward to being with you again in about a week. And until then, keep standing for faith, family, and freedom.
Subscribe to Gary Bauer's Defending Faith, Family, and Freedom, where you find your favorite podcasts. Just hit the subscribe button to ensure you receive every episode.